Hello and welcome back, Gothamites. Today we're talking about the demon's head. Bruce and Selina's almost but not quite kiss. The Joker gets an outfit. And Jim and Harvey are back in the saddle. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Girls are running this mother. That's what's happening. It's going down. Thank you for those lights. I love them, Anne. These are beautiful. Welcome back to Gotham. Today we're talking season 4, episode 16, one of my three soups. As always, Carla, Zach are back in the house. Say hey, guys. Awesome. Hello.
Hello, hello. Hello. Hello, hello. Hello.
So excited to be here.
We killed Steve because girls run the world today.
We did not kill Steve. Steve will be back. Not next week, but the following. Stay tuned. Go follow him all over the interwebs. Guys, let's just dive into this very bonkers, very insane episode. So many things are finally coming to fruition. So many things, like if you are a fan of the comics, you're starting to see costumes, you're starting to get like character personalities. If you're just a fan of the show and have been watching for a long time, it feels like we're building up to some penultimate stuff. Groups are forming, lines are being drawn in the sand. It's kind of a beautiful day in Gotham. What did you guys think of today's episode?
It was everything. I loved it so much. I loved like the tension between Selina and Batman.
I'm gonna call him Batman. That car lane scene. It was steamy.
Yeah, there were so many, like, juicy, and then Barbara just, like, running it today. Mm-hmm. Like, everything was so
Barbara became
delicious.
A drag icon today. She's always been fabulous, but today she became, like, I hope to see people cosplaying as Barbara in drag soon, because it was fabulous.
Before, I've always been kind of a little bit iffy about Barbara.
That's fair. She's crazy.
But today, I was like, Barbara, you're my girl.
Yes.
I loved her. She grew on me today,
for
sure.
Definitely, I mean, compared, like, Oprah, to me, reached her true form in A Wrinkle in Time. When we get Giant Oprah, we get her true form. I feel like this might have been Barbara's true form.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was what we were waiting for.
She said, bow down.
She
and
did.
And I, like, dropped to the ground.
And they did. It was amazing. We're going to get into it, but first I want to start with our Gotham Asylum break up at the top. We've got Tetch is back. He's made his own paper top hat. And he is still hypnotizing people with rhymes. What did you guys think about the return of Tetch? Were you excited to see him, especially in this team up with Scarecrow and Jerome?
I was super excited. I love Tetch. I love the Scarecrow. And I feel like I really like the fact that they actually brought the Scarecrow back, because I don't think we got enough of the Scarecrow. And I feel the Scarecrow kind of gives me pig vibes. So I'm really excited to have the Scarecrow.
He's dirty.
Yes. And of course, Jerome. I can't say this enough times. I'm like totally in love with Jerome. Like, I love him. He's everything.
Yeah, I love this trifecta. I mean, I'm not a big Scarecrow fan. I think we barely even saw him this episode, so he didn't do it for me. But, I mean, we had Jerome and we had Tetch. I like Tetch coming back. I like him. I mean, he came back and he was, like, ready to play. He's like, I'm taking all y'all mofos out. And he almost did.
To recap, I believe we were introduced to Scarecrow in season 2. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, chat.
They will.
He's been
sprinkled. They will.
They're on it. They're experts. That's why we rely on them. We love having them here. So we've seen him throughout. When we first get him, he is a scared little boy whose father has been running experiments on him to try to eliminate fear from his life. Having conquered fear, he now decides to use it as a weapon against everybody else. So for me, it was really exciting to have him back. He's one of my favorite Batman villains. The three of these guys release all 86 prisoners in their ward. That is the violent criminals ward. And send Jim and Harvey on kind of a wild goose chase. What did you think of their first...
A wild duck chase.
What did you think of their first setup? I kind of like the theatrics. It reminded me a little bit of, like, Beetlejuice, a little bit of Batman 67, of, you know, we've got a bride and a groom, presumably under a giant ball, lots of people just hanging out in the street. And Jim's like, I'll give you anything. I didn't know what was going to happen next. What did you guys think?
I kind of saw it coming. I think like that had to have happened in order for him to make a comeback. And when I saw the couple, I was like, okay, like they're going to die. Like we can't even get attached to them and think that Jim's coming to save them, because they weren't going to be saved.
I didn't expect them to be smashed. I thought Jim was going to save them at some point. I thought something was going to happen, because Jim just doesn't let people die. So, yeah, I was kind of sad to see them smashed. He loves, like, married couples. Like, this is the second time we've seen him play with a married couple, like, full
yeah.
tie and
I think
gown.
He kind of envisioned himself married to his sister, as weird as that is. And I think maybe that's why we're seeing yeah. a lot of couples mm-hmm. in Tetch's handiwork. But we also see Jim kind of cornered a lot at the top of this episode. He confesses to Harvey, like, look, I think I gotta come out. Tell mm-hmm. everybody the truth, confess what I did. Harvey's like, you have to just live with this. Mm-hmm. And Tetch kind of gives him the same option when he gets here. He's like, look, I don't want anything from you. Not one simple thing. I want you to suffer. Deal with it. How do you guys think Jim so is handling sad. This, not just his promotion to captain, but now we're sort of seeing him step into the role for the first time, truly. How did he handle his first time out, especially now that he's got Harvey back at his side?
I love the two of them together. I know I kind of was a little over Harvey when he was having his diva moment a few episodes earlier in the first half of the season. But I like, they work well together. Like they like complement each other in the right way. Like they just need to get married. They don't need a bone, mm-hmm. but like just being together, like, you know, they're perfect for each other. They're a perfect pair, a perfect match. They're twin flames.
I just love how Harvey just motivates Jim to be a better cop. And I think in a way, Jim definitely helps. Why am I forgetting?
Harvey?
Harvey. Mm-hmm. Become a better cop as well. And just the fact that they're able to talk to each other and tell each other, like, what's the right thing to do. It's hard to have, like a partner, like, in the police force that's going to tell you, yeah, like, go ahead, do this. Or, like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
And, like, to protect him. Because for some time we were thinking that Bullock wanted to have some sort of revenge on him. So for us to be able to see, like, okay, like, he has this piece of information, like, is he going to use it against him? But at the same time, we're realizing that he's not. He's actually helping him keep it, like, a secret and having him grow from his experience.
Absolutely. I love seeing these guys together, too. Yeah. It feels like an old married couple, to your point.
Yeah.
Again, we're not shipping them. This is not sexualization of these two characters.
Yeah, no, I don't
but
want
just
that.
That their partnership works really mm-hmm. well.
Really well.
They have a good push and pull with each other. Mm-hmm. So not only does Jim have to live with his mistakes, but we also learn that Harvey is willing to sacrifice himself for Jim. A thing, as you pointed out three episodes ago, we certainly wouldn't have gotten from him.
Yeah.
They're both evolving a lot in their positions. Jim's willing to shoulder a lot of things. He's willing to harm people a little more quickly. Does not flinch to shoot Tetch in the hand later. And then when it comes time, when they finally figure out, again, we have to just talk about how bad the GCPD is at their job. How is he getting it to them? Gosh, could it be on the radio, guys? That one thing that connects us all the waves
that reaches
in the air?
Everybody.
Jesus H, there's such a long wait for them to get to radio. And then it even the end when he was like, oh, how do we save them? Well, they can't save themselves, so they should save each other. Anyhow.
You called that like a spot on. It took Jim a while.
Yeah.
Jim wasted a good 45 minutes.
Save yourself, save each other.
Yeah.
She said it like three times. She was yelling at the TV screen. I'm like, Joelle, he can't hear you.
It was frustrating. I could not wait. Next time I will. Just be like, right now, Ben, do it.
Hashtag Gotham.
What'd you guys think of Harvey's sacrifice? And does this shock you? Does it inform you of anything new about his character?
You know, I think Harvey wanted to put up a big front and be like, I'm not going to forgive you this easy. But, like, that's his boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bow down. Not kiss the ring, but, like, they're there for each other. Mm. He's going to always be there to support him. And it was nice that we kind of saw that dynamic come back in. And that's when you see Jim being his best, is when he has Harvey at his side to really help him
true.
And lift him up.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was Jim's motivation. Because, of course, the people of Gotham are his motivation to, like, he wants to save the people of Gotham. But once, like, Harvey was there, he's like, okay, like, I got to do this. And he went for it. He sacrificed himself as well to be able to like, walk into the radio station and try to stop the Hatter,
Tetch.
Mm-hmm. So, I just think it was really nice for both of them to sacrifice each other.
It was.
It's kind of like a big brother, little brother relationship, and I love it so much.
It is. Or even like college roommates where they're just like, ugh, you drunk fool. I got your back. Don't even worry about
I'll
it.
I'll hold your hair.
Of course, at the end of the day, Jim does finally figure out like, hey, they could just save each other. It's a beautiful moment for everybody.
Yeah.
He and Harvey go back to the office. They commiserate. It seems like they're back. Harvey's back on the forest. Jim is out of the hospital. They're back working together. They share a drink, even though Jim says he's trying to slow down. I'm wondering if this is where we're going to end up, because I always thought the show would drop us off right where fans of, like, the comics are accustomed to being. And where that is like, Harvey is about twice his current size and a super, like, just the worst kind of alcoholic, but still a good cop somehow. He's not a good cop. He's just... he gets things done. Yeah. Harvey grows accustomed to doing things you shouldn't have to do in order to deal with Gotham. Jim gets his mustache. He's captain on his way to being Lieutenant Gordon. And then we have a lot of the same cops we're starting to see pop up. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're getting close. We've talked a lot about how the season looks like it's wrapping up. And I think we're getting that with some of our villains, particularly in the style of dress. Yeah. What did you guys think of Tetch's, like, whole ploy? Because at the end of the episode, we learned that they are actually weren't really worried about killing these people. This was just a ploy to draw Jim's attention away, which to me says they are working on a whole nother level and they have an entire plan ready to go.
Yeah. And it's so exciting.
I know. I'm curious how the... I mean, if you have this little trifecta and they're kind of rising, and then you have Barbara and she's bringing together her little army, and then you have Penguin Enigma, like, I want to see... And then you have Sophia, who, well, I mean, she's in a coma at the moment, but, you know, I'm sure she's still plotting.
She's going to wake up and be like...
I rewatched that episode and it really looked like she was...
shot in the head.
Like,
and
her brain. Yeah, I just don't see how she can get up from this. It's Gotham, so it could happen, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know. She looked pretty dead to me.
No,
I
have you a could feeling... rope a string through her and hang her on a Christmas tree, and that was a solid shot.
That is such a visual, Zach. Oh, my God.
I think this is sort of a prediction, but I have a feeling that some episode is going to end with her waking up. Like, it's going to lead, yeah. And then it's going to be her, like, awaken. And it's
like
gonna,
the beautiful soap opera it is. Mm-hmm. Before we get into some of our other villains and their new shiny clothes, I want to talk a little bit about Maria's podcast. Maria is our big sister, and you can have her as a big sister too, which is awesome. If you guys want to have fun, you want to learn, you want to grow in all areas of your life, you can now check out this wonderful conversation. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos feature celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. For health and wellness, to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate. It's the best. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was us that sent you here. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. Once again, you could pause. We will be here. This never goes away. If you wanted to go check it out, they're really fun. A lot of the career advice she's been giving, I've been, like, jotting down in notebooks.
Yeah.
Were you taking some of her dating advice? Because you came into the studio saying, "Marry Baba."
You all wham. Yeah. You know, it's great. Give it a shot when you can. Let's get back into not the Joker. We're not calling him that, despite his white glove scarred face now boiling pockmarked. But no, he's still just Jerome.
It's hard because they're setting him up to be the Joker so bad. He's like really becoming the Joker.
Yeah. But,
so I was reading theories online after last week,
yes,
and a lot of fans are saying that they think Jerome they're gonna play this inspiration thing out, and so they think that Jerome has either a twin brother, which would make it super soap opera-y, okay. Or he has like a cousin that like really resembles him. And the reason it's a family member is because there's that history of mental illness that are going to make them kooky, and they're going to come in, and that's why the photos we saw last week were of a very clean-faced Jerome and not, like, a burned, cut-up Jerome.
Wow.
Because, like, if that's the case, then that's, like, some really good, like, skin rejuvenation, and I need Jerome's doctor.
Right. I mean, this episode does leave us with a question, who is the Joker? Which suggests that we're going to get a Joker.
We're going to meet him next week. That's my prediction. I'm jumping all around. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay. Well, okay, let's go through it. What clues from this episode do we think might lend to itself? So we know he's going back to family, to your point. He goes he's to visit his uncle.
Yeah.
We talk more about his childhood trauma and about the abuse he suffered. And then, in a move, did you guys ever think you could feel bad for the Joker? I didn't think I could feel bad for Jerome, but when his uncle started pouring hot soup all over his face, I was like, this is the most uncool.
Yeah. And not only that, but when he started talking about when he said that the tortures never stopped when he was younger, it's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh my gosh, like he was abused as when he was young by this uncle. So it's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh.
See, he doesn't need to take over Gotham, guys. He just needs a good therapist.
He needs love.
He needs a whole lot of therapy. Because, like, being abused as a child is horrific, and I can't even imagine how you compartmentalize that abuse as you age. But murdering people is probably not the best way to handle that. And I don't think you can walk into a court of law and be like, oh, yeah, my uncle hit me and poured hot soup on me. So, you know, these last 60 to 150 deaths should not count against me. I still think the Joker, Jerome, is just an awful human being. And yet I was able to feel some compassion for him in this moment.
Yeah. No, I feel like it was cliche, and I think they did that intentionally so that they're going to play this out. I think it's going to be interesting how they're going to play this out.
Do you think?
I don't like that they did that, though, because I feel like now.
Why? Because they don't have a heart?
Well, no, because I feel like now I'm more attached to Jerome. I feel like that kind of attached me a little bit more to him and him as a person rather than him as the Joker that we personally thought this whole time he was going to be. He's not the Joker.
Now you can, like, really love Jerome. And when he dies, then you can, really pay your respects.
We talked a little bit and have continually talked about how we hoped Ivy would not be our main big bad for this season. I'm so happy. We have another episode without her. Again, no shade to the actress. We just really are not digging Ivy.
Yeah. We didn't even see her in the previews for next week.
It's really a blessed time to be a Gotham fan. So now that we are getting our big bad reveals, now that we know something bigger is coming a long way, now that we have these great fan theories about what the Joker might be doing, we know that Scarecrow got his nerve gas back. Someone remind me what Joker did while they were being distracted. He got the school. The school where someone is being hidden, St. Ignatius.
St. Ignatius.
Mm-hmm. What do we think that they are up to? I know this goes a little into predictions, but looking again at the clues we were given here, what we saw today, what do we think these things are going to be used for?
I have a feeling that this family member, from when I thought about it, I really thought it was like his twin, because that's the first thing that came to my mind. But he also said, I think there might have been a reference of a cousin. So I'm not sure.
He did say cousin this week. Yeah.
Twin or cousin. I think you're right, Carla. I think we're putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
This is show, guys. We're putting it together as we go.
We could probably talk about this all day, but let's quickly move on to Bruce and Selena, where Bruce and Selena challenge each other to say sorry this week. Yeah. Who should say sorry first?
Is it too late now to say sorry?
I think Bruce should be the first one to say sorry, just because he was really the bad person from the beginning when she was at the club and
we're
all
not
that.
Bad people, Carla. We just make bad choices.
Well, when he was doing his bad choices, I feel like he just needs to apologize for it. And this is a way of them making up. And I just love them together. They're just such a cute, small little couple.
They are adorable teen couple goals.
Oh, okay. Someone in the chat just mentioned something about the school and back to your theory about the twin and back to the theory with the sorry, I know you said we're going to move on.
No, please go
but
for it.
But like as I just saw the comment, I'm thinking, what if Jerome is going to this school to find whoever his long lost cousin or twin, and he's going to go and like break them out and save them. And then they're like, no, I'm stealing your identity.
New Age Joker did feel, if we look at those photos again, it does look like he's outside of a school potentially. An old school building.
Yeah.
Like a PS108 or something like that. It would not surprise me. I agree with you, Carla, that Bruce should apologize to Selena. You were a drunk dude in her club, macking on other ladies, hella unprofessional. But I also really enjoy that we are getting inside of the psychology of Bruce Wayne. Now, when we're talking about adult Bruce Wayne, this for me would be like 22 to 46 year old Bruce Wayne, about the years that he's active as Batman. I love getting into the psychology of who he is and why does he make these decisions.
Yeah.
And what I had really hoped for at the start of this series was that we would be delving into that psychological development. Mm-hmm. Not quite what the show is about. Still love what it turned out to be. But now we're getting these moments where he says, I feel responsible for these people.
Yeah.
You know, why fight crime? Why not kill these guys? Why not remove the threat to Gotham completely? Mm-hmm. The idea that he is now responsible for their lives, whether they kill or are reformed, entirely up to him. What do you guys think about this development for Bruce?
I thought it was interesting that Selina brought it up as, you know, he's on an ego trip. And this is really just him trying to fulfill his ego. And it just makes me think, like, are all superheroes just, like, super egotistic?
I mean, you would have to be a little bit, right? Do you think you could fight justice by yourself?
Could you imagine, like, superheroes on Instagram? Like, oh, my God.
You guys, there's a Booster Gold movie coming out soon. And if you're unfamiliar with Booster Gold, you should check out some of his comics. Or there's a lot of, like, little short cartoons on Cartoon Network available of Booster Gold. He's a celebrity from the future who travels back in time to, like, save history and random heroes, but he's completely self-obsessed. And we think in the new Booster Gold movie, which is going to have an indie-sized budget, that it's going to be all social media style shot, which I would really love. There's a great show on Netflix called Strong Girl Bong Soon that uses like a lot of Instagram filters slash like Snapchat sound effects throughout its programming. And I think it's really fun to blend those two worlds, like the idea of a television series looking like your Instagram feed.
Like, just think about it. Bruce Wayne would be the type of guy that would take a gym selfie in the mirror without a shirt and be like, working on my Batman.
See, this would be his Bruce Wayne alter ego, because Batman would probably use that, like, stuff to track villains and, like, search for crime-ridden areas within Gotham and learn about, like, where the kids are selling illegal drugs so he can stop it before it hits the streets. But, yeah, no, Bruce is definitely doing topless, like, workout selfies, like, just did a 10K morning workout accomplished. I don't know. He would definitely be douchey about it.
This is why I can understand why Sophie is so into it. Like, it's just that bad boy, that frat boy that, like, you just, you know you shouldn't. But, like, there's just something that pulls you to it like a magnet.
You do.
Sophia.
Carla's dated
quite a few. She is a mess. Wow. Way to put Carla on blast. Bruce does go to the diner to stop the Joker, which we see. And Selina has to come save his little behind because he is out of his depth. Because
who runs the world, Joelle?
It's girls.
Yeah.
They do. I love that we see her whip in action. I love we see her fighting crime.
You know what what I really liked about this episode was the fact that at the beginning, Bruce says, like, I didn't kill him, so it's my fault. And then we kind of see Selina come in, ready to kill him, but he still can't kill because he's not supposed to kill. So I loved the fact that Selina came in and she was, like, ready to kill Jerome, but he was like, no, and he saved his life again.
And this is what we're talking about with that ego thing. Like, so if he lives and harms people, that's your fault. But if he dies...
Yeah.
Also your fault. Like, you don't have a way of making the situation better. You've just centered yourself in the situation.
Yeah.
And poor Selina, like, I feel like her head is like, girl, run away. Like, this is a hot mess. You do not need her. Poor little heart is just he's so wounded and I can fix him.
The heart wants what it wants. And you always think you can fix a guy until you know you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to play it out.
It's rough. Don't go down that road, y'all. Let's talk about the moment we were all waiting for. Yes. The moment that shined and was glorious. Barbara is the demon's head. Raish has passed his powers on to her. We debated a lot last week about, was it him? Was it a hallucination? Was he going to be reincarnated? Two souls in one body. It looks, from this episode, like the powers have just been passed on directly. This scene was so emotionally impactful for us as Barbara stands. Just walk me through the moments, like the highlights, like as you're watching, how are you feeling? Give me like a sports play-by-play.
Okay, from the beginning, I really thought that Raj was actually living like inside her this whole time. And then when we see the scene where it's like, he's like, oh, I'm just passing you the powers and you're the demon's head. Once he told her, like, you're the demon's head, I was like, oh my gosh, like, he actually gave the powers, he's dead. And then when she, like, comes out and she's, like, ready, we kind of saw the fact that she was kind of ready to take on her powers once, Tabitha. I don't know why I called it Tigress.
Because she feels like a tigress. She's a Marvel villain, or hero, anti-hero. It depends on where you jump in. But yeah, I feel like I get you.
Tabitha just tells her, like, hey, you're strong. Like, you can do this. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of one of those, like, yeah, it's actually, it's true. How come you haven't done this yet? And then when we just see her just go through it, and she's like, okay, you guys are afraid of me. I'm the bomb. And she's like, I'm ready to take this over. I loved it. I loved it so much.
Zach, she was serving shoulder pads and hair. How were you feeling?
Everything. Oh my God, I loved it so much. I was so happy. I was starting to fall for the theories we came up with last week that he was going to live inside her, or there was going to be like this internal battle. And I really didn't want that, but I could see that happening. So that's why I was so excited when we actually see her and she has the flashbacks. And you see that he really picked her out from when she was dead and he brought her back to life. Like, this is a plan that he had in motion since day one, because he saw that potential in her. And, like, you all want that someone to see that potential in you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Raj is the type of mentor you want to stick around in your head even when he's dead. But I loved it. And then she had her hand and she went up and she was, like, bowed down everybody. And I just was, like, dead.
Yeah, all those men took a knee, the lights went out, and the lady assassins did what they do. They assassinated the hell out of them.
All the ladies that killed them, I was like, hell yeah.
They looked so good doing it. I don't want to demean them by just looking at their looks, but wow, we all really killed the game. And then on top of that, for them to be like, look, you have us at your disposal. We're actually the tip of the spear, which means we are the most powerful part. Yeah,
that's right.
Whole bunches more are going to come join us. Mm-hmm. Are you guys familiar with Talia al Ghul?
No.
No. Okay. So Talia al Ghul is Ra's al Ghul's daughter. Okay. For a long time, she wants to... There are a lot of different stories. Sometimes she is also immortal like her father, but many times she says, I do not want that life. I will die. It's okay, but I'll fight by your side. Sometimes she's fighting for good, but mostly she's into her assassin ways. I'm kind of hoping that the lead assassin from League of Shadows that was doing most of the talking tonight turns out to be Talia. Okay. I don't know if that will be the case. She's technically supposed to be Bruce's age, so I don't know if that's what's happening. But yay, lady assassins. Finally, the Joker takes a whole bowl of hot soup to the face. At the end, he's got his dope costume. Everyone's costumed up now. We see Tetch gets a costume. We see him with his, like, black silk hat on. And then the previews for next week, we see Penguin in the, like, feathered black. Yeah. I don't know fully what's happening, but I'm getting very excited, because if we can get villains on the street all in costume and with the GCPD, amazing. Just, like, I don't know what to do. Good. It's going to be so great. That leads us right into predictions. Guys, tell us, what are we going to be talking about next week?
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
I think we're going to have a big clash of the villains again. Yeah. I think everybody wants power in Gotham. You're going to see Nygma and Penguin. You're going to see Barbara and her army, and everyone's just going to be fighting it out. I don't know how they're going to fit Ivy into this, because she doesn't really have, like, a big motive or objective other than to save the plants, which I think is really stupid.
So dumb.
But I do wish I can see Zaz again soon, because Eric in the live chats keeps mentioning that we didn't see Zaz this week, and I love Zaz. Aside from Barbara,
Zaz has been doing.
I need my Zaz in my life.
A lot of guest work around. Dang it, I just saw him like 2 nights ago on a show. That dude is working, but yes, please do come back to Gotham. Really quick, Carla, predictions.
I think that Jerome has been preparing somebody else to be the Joker in a way that we actually didn't even know was happening, and we'll find out how.
I predict that the person Jerome is looking for has also been tortured, first with Jerome and now maybe in St. Ignatius, and that he believes that maybe he's saving him. I'm hoping we get more into the Joker psyche. I'm hoping we get more into Batman psyche next week. And yes, definitely more villains. Before we go, a spot of quick news. Old Sport, there we go. There it is.
TV news.
Yes. Our news this week is Ben McKenzie directed this episode. Yes. Our leading man, Jim Gordon himself, actually directed this episode. Guys, how did he do?
He did amazing. So good.
Amazing. He gave us a little bit of everything that we needed.
It's true. He talked a lot about doing this both behind the scenes mm-hmm. and in front of the scenes. It's kind of a hectic situation for him, but I think he got the job done. I particularly liked the shots he set up of them about to walk over, but yeah. not quite. I liked the way he was able to build tension. It felt like a Gotham episode, but you felt his thumbprints on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, really did.
And as a director, really, that's all you can hope for. Hopefully he gets more opportunities in the future. He aced this. So he's good job, it. Ben. Guys, thank you so much for joining us in the chat. Anyone, who should we shout out in the chat? Who's been following along the conversation?
Eric yes. has been blowing it up. Thank you, Eric. We have Ziaz B. Lou, who's always tearing Zazzy up the
B.
chat.
I love it.
Love it, love it, love it. Thank you guys so much. Star Drew. Thank you so
Star,
much.
Yay!
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you. Listeners on iTunes, wow. feel free to rate us. Give us 5 stars. Leave us comments. We love interacting with you guys. Until next week, where can the folks find you?
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Carla Beltran. You can follow me on Instagram at I am Carla Beltran or on Twitter at Carla Beltran with an R at the end.
Hi guys, I'm Zach Peter. Thank you so much for watching. You can follow me at Just Plain Zach.
And I've been your host tonight. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Tonight, in like 2-ish hours, doing in Atlanta. Make sure to follow Steven. Join him on Twitter. He loves you guys, too. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
Ciao.
Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.